الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وما آتاكم الرسول فخذوه وما نهاكم عنه فانتهوا صدق الله العظيم سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي درو شيخ الله Respected brothers, respected elders, mothers and sisters listening at home, after the shahadat of Sayyidina Hussein radiyallahu ta'ala an, the man who stood up against Yazid ibn Muawiyah is a sahabi whose name is Abdullah ibn Zubair radiyallahu ta'ala an. Immediately after the tragic events in the plains of Karbala, this brave Sahabi of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who was in Makkah Mukarrama, Abdullah ibn Zubair, he spoke to the people and he explained to them and he said that the worst people in the Islamic Empire today are the people of Iraq. And then he said, from amongst the people of Iraq, the worst people are the people of Kufa. These were the words of Hazrat Abdullah ibn Zubair radiyallahu ta'ala an. And I mentioned this in the last session also, specifically talking about the people of Kufa, if you recall. And here, as proof that a great Sahabi speaks about one particular group of people, and he said to them that these were the same people who invited Hazrat Ali radiyallahu ta'ala an, and these were the same people who invited Hazrat Hussein radiyallahu ta'ala an, and the same people who betrayed Hazrat Hussein radiyallahu ta'ala an. And so he said to the people, now Abdullah ibn Zubair from the very beginning was a man who had not accepted the rulership of Yazid ibn Muawiyah. So from the beginning he was an outcast, as to say that he was just waiting for what would happen with Hazrat Hussein radiyallahu ta'ala, whether people would have accepted him as their leader or not. And therefore he was not in the picture during the term of Hazrat Hussein radiyallahu ta'ala when he was invited to go to Kufa. But now, after the events of Karbala, he spoke out and he said to the people that this is wrong. And so immediately, in fact, scholars have mentioned that he is the first Amir who had taken complete control of Makkah Mukarramah. So all of the people in Makkah Mukarramah were now with Hazrat Abdullah ibn Zubair radiyallahu ta'ala an. And so now we actually have to understand, as you'll have different events that unfold. SubhanAllah, a great individual. Now obviously Yazid, who is in Syria, in Dimashq, when he found out that again there is some kind of dissension from Abdullah ibn Zubair, so immediately, in order to take control, what he did is that he appointed a man whose name was Hussein ibn Numair. And he said to Hussein ibn Numair that I want you to go to Hijaz, go towards Makkah Mukarramah, and if need be, capture for me Abdullah ibn Zubair and bring him to me. These were the words of Yazid ibn Muawiyah radiyallahu ta'ala. Now remember, who was to be blamed for the shahadat of Hazrat Hussein radiyallahu ta'ala? And in the last two sessions we covered that. And in fact, even before the month of Ramadan, that important message was covered. And so we continue from thereafter, the aftermath and the events that unfold. Now what had happened is that when this man, Hussein ibn Zubair, when he got to Makkah Mukarrama, when he laid a siege to the city of Makkah Mukarrama, subhanallah, obviously it was not easy for him just to enter Makkah Mukarrama, because all of the people of Makkah were now with Hazrat Abdullah ibn Zubair radiyallahu ta'ala. So he laid a siege to the city. And in doing so, what had happened is that information was given to him that in Dimashq, Yazid ibn Muawiyah has died. Yazid ibn Muawiyah has died. And so Yazid lived a short life. He lived a short life, and perhaps this was the decree of Allah, and in fact maybe a form of punishment for him after what had happened, that he was the Amir and that he should have taken care of the events that were unfolding in Kufa. To khair, he died. When he died, Hussein ibn Umair, obviously, he decided to return back to Damascus. So he went back to Dimashq. When he went back to Dimashq, now you have in tariq history a few individuals perhaps who were ready to take on the position of Yazid ibn Muawiyah. One of them was also his son. Yazid had many children. And the next individual was a child whose name was Muawiyah. Yazid had given him the name after his father. So in tariq history, he is known Muawiyah the Second. He is known as Muawiyah the Second. Now remember, one is Hazrat Muawiyah radiyallahu ta'ala, the Sahabi of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And then his son is Yazid. And so Yazid has many children, and one of the sons is named as Muawiyah after his grandfather. And so Muawiyah the Second also died immediately after the death of his father. And so Yazid died, then his son Muawiyah also died in quick succession. Then thereafter, the next man in Sham, in Syria, Dimashq, was a person whose name was Marwan ibn Hakam. Marwan ibn Hakam, when he became the ruler, he took a different approach. He wanted to actually make peace with Hazrat Abdullah ibn Zubair in Makkah Mukarrama. In fact, he left the area of Dimashq. He went out that possibly if I could send some kind of a message, or even if I could go all the way to Makkah Mukarrama and meet him, then I will give my allegiance to Hazrat Abdullah ibn Zubair. What had happened is that, if you remember, Ubaidullah ibn Ziyad, do you remember him? Ubaidullah ibn Ziyad stopped Marwan ibn Hakam and he said, no. And somehow convinced him that, look, with the people of Makkah, it's just the people of Makkah, and Abdullah ibn Zubair is just an individual. Here you have so many people with you. You have to take charge. The Islamic Khilafat can't be without a leader. And so somehow he convinced Marwan ibn Hakam. The truth is that he knew that if Marwan ibn Hakam made peace with Abdullah ibn Zubair radiallahu ta'ala an, then his days in this world were only a few, only numbered. Why? Because he had some role to play also in the matter of Karbala, Ubaidullah ibn Ziyad, because he was also the governor. So obviously Hazrat Abdullah ibn Zubair radiallahu ta'ala an would want to avenge the blood of Hazrat Hussein radiallahu ta'ala an. So he knew, Ubaidullah knew, that if all power is given to Abdullah ibn Zubair, then eventually I will have to suffer the consequence. And so he convinced Marwan ibn Hakam that, by no, you have to stay. Allah ki shan, the decree of Allah, Yazid died, his son Muawiyah the second died. Now Marwan ibn Hakam, he also died. Marwan ibn Hakam, he also died. And so in quick succession, three people died. Yazid, his son Muawiyah, and also Marwan ibn Hakam. Now comes another individual whose name is Abdul Malik ibn Marwan. What is his name? Abdul Malik ibn Marwan. Abdul Malik ibn Marwan is a different character. Now, when you look at tariqh and history, from the time of Abdul Malik ibn Marwan, perhaps this is the first time in history we recall that in the Islamic Empire we have two rulers, two khalifas. Ibn Taymiyyah rahmatullah alayhi has made a lot of kalam that whether Islamically can we have two rulers, two appointed rulers. And of course there is kalam. Khair, what Ibn Taymiyyah rahmatullah alayhi says is that geographically, if it permits for the Muslims, and if it is in the interest of the Muslim community to have two rulers, then it is accepted. However, the best option would be to only have one khalifa. And perhaps why Ibn Taymiyyah rahmatullah alayhi has said that is that we have one example during the Khilafat of Hazrat Amir Muawiyah, that the Syrians had accepted Hazrat Amir Muawiyah radiyallahu ta'ala an, and Hazrat Ali radiyallahu ta'ala an, of course, was the Khalifa from amongst the Khulafair Rashid. But khair, this is the kalam of some of the scholars in Islam. But you have two individuals now. So you have Ubaidullah ibn Ziyad. Where is he? Abdullah ibn Zubair. Where is he? In Makkah Mukarram. There are so many names here to remember. You know, guys, you have to be alert, yeah? I know Umar might be alert. So Abdullah ibn Zubair is in Makkah Mukarrama. Now, his followers were the people of Hijaz and some sections in Iraq. And Abdul Malik ibn Marwan generally was the Syrians, the people of Sham, and some sections of Palestine. And so everything was quite divided. So you had Abdullah ibn Zubair on one side, and now you had Abdul Malik ibn Marwan on the other side. Remember how many people died? Yazid, Muawiyah, and Malik ibn Marwan. Malik ibn Marwan. And so you have Abdul Malik ibn Marwan now. Khair, if we look into the biography of Abdullah ibn Zubair, who is this individual? Subhanallah, without a doubt, the scholars say that Abdul Malik ibn Marwan is of no comparison to Hazrat Abdullah ibn Zubair radiyallahu ta'ala. And he was the most worthy to take on the position to be the Khalifa of the Muslimin. Abdullah ibn Zubair radiyallahu ta'ala, who is this individual? When the Muhajireen migrated to Medina Munawwara, the Jewish people who were settled in Medina Munawwara, they started spreading rumors. Of course, the Ansar were settled there, the Aus and the Khazraj. But we're talking about the Muhajireen who were coming. Slowly, when you had an influx of Muslims coming from Makkah Mukarrama, and more people were now settling in Medina Munawwara, the Jewish community started spreading rumors that our rabbis and our great scholars have done jadu, magic, on the Muslims. And the magic was that the Muslim women have become infertile, so that not a single lady, Muslim lady, will give birth to a child in Medina Munawwara. And so they started spreading these rumors. Now obviously, the Jewish people are known for their sihr, for their magic. And this includes also in Medina Munawwara. If you remember the tafsir of Kul A'udhu Bi Rabbin Nas and Kul A'udhu Bi Rabbil Falaq, it's actually connected to magic. And it was the Jewish people who were doing this all the time. And that is why Musa alayhi salatu was salam, when he confronted the Sahireen, who were the Sahireen? The Banu Israel, that were there, and these were the people who actually passed on this sihr, this magic, to the people, even in Egypt. And so the Jews, wherever they went, they had this jadu, sihr, magic in their genes. So they started saying that, not to worry, Islam cannot last in Medina Munawwara. Why? Because we have done jadu. No lady, Muslim lady, will give birth to a child. Subhanallah, it is said, imagine, in the midst of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sometimes wants to test people. For nearly 2 years, not a single lady gave birth to a child in Medina Munawwara. Can you imagine that? 20 months. 20 mahine ke liye, not a single child was born in Medina Munawwara. In fact, people were worried. Sahaba-i kiram majmain were worried. That what is happening? Because sihr is something that is haq, and nobody can deny sihr, magic. And so they were worried. That is it true that the rabbis and the scholars have done sihr upon our women, that they can't give birth? And for 20 months, not a child was born. But subhanallah, after 20 months, the first child that was born was Abdullah ibn Zubair. This man, Abdullah ibn Zubair, was a joy for the Muslims when he was born. His birthplace was Quba. Where? Quba. Where we have Masjid Quba?
Yeah.
So he was born in Quba. It was a great joy for the Muslims. In fact, it was a slap on the face of the Jewish community, who were spreading rumors that nothing happens but by the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so Abdullah ibn Zubair was born. It is said that he is the first child that was pampered in such a way that perhaps no one in Arabia was pampered like that. And people would lift him and carry him, and they would kiss him, and they would take him, and they would sing poetry, and they say, oh mashallah, and they would say, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. And so who is Abdullah ibn Zubair radiallahu ta'ala? Who is he? Abdullah ibn Zubair, the father is the great warrior, Hazrat Zubair ibn Awam. Who is he? Zubair ibn Awam. One from the Ashray Mubashara. Who is he? The father of Abdullah ibn Zubair, the son of Zubair, is Zubair ibn Awam. One from the Ashray Mubashara. 10 individuals were given glad tidings of Jannah in one majlis, in one gathering. And Hazrat Zubair was one of them.
Subhanallah.
And he was the cousin of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. A powerful warrior. And we've covered him. I'm not sure if brothers recall. Hazrat Zubair radiallahu ta'ala is very powerful mujahid. And who is the mother of Abdullah ibn Zubair? The mother is Hazrat Asma radiallahu ta'ala anha, the daughter of Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq. You see the connection? Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq is the nana, the grandfather of Abdullah ibn Zubair. His father is Zubair, mother is Hazrat Asma. She is the younger sister of Bibi Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha. And so Abdullah ibn Zubair becomes the nephew of Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala. And that is why Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha later on had taken custody of Abdullah ibn Zubair with the permission of the mother, that let him stay with me. And so he actually was brought up in the mashallah company and the lap of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So again, here you see this man, Abdullah ibn Zubair. There is no comparison. There is no comparison. Who is more worthy to be the leader of the Muslims after the shahadat of Hazrat Hussain radiallahu ta'ala? Only Abdullah ibn Zubair radiallahu ta'ala. Subhanallah al-Azim. Khair, when he was born, Hazrat Asma radiallahu ta'ala anha had conceived him, and while she was in Makkah Mukarrama, she migrated and she gave birth to Abdullah ibn Zubair in Quba. And Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq came, carried him immediately to Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. To Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. It is said that Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam lifted him up, looked at him, kissed him, And it is said that Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to Aisha that give me a date to do tahniq. And she gave a date, and Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam put the khajur in his mouth and then put it into the mouth of Abdullah ibn Zubair and rubbed it on his gums. And ulama have mentioned that actually the first thing that entered the stomach of Abdullah ibn Zubair radiallahu ta'ala an is the saliva of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allahu Akbar. The first thing that entered, because immediately Hazrat Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala an had taken him. And so the first thing that entered into the stomach was the saliva of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had named him as Abdullah. That is why in the hadith, in Mishkat, it is mentioned that two names are beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One is Abdullah and one is Abdul Rahman. Abdullah and Abdul Rahman. So khair, Abdullah ibn Zubair was this unique sahabi, a very young sahabi. Tahniq was given to him. The mother is Hazrat Asma. The father is Hazrat Zubair radiallahu ta'ala an. The grandfather is Hazrat Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala an. The auntie is Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala. And so look at the family connection. And for him to be the first child to be born in Medina Munawwara. And so everyone knew him. Subhanallah al-Azim. Later on, this individual became a great warrior. A man who was well known for his worship, subhanallah, trained under the wing of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the household, in the family members of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Some of the scholars have mentioned this, ajeeb, and let me relate this to you. Sahaba kiram ajma'een, their love for Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was extraordinary. Their love for Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was extraordinary. A lot of people sometimes, even as Muslims perhaps, would find certain things difficult to digest. But when it comes to love, and the love of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it is at a different level. On one occasion, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did hijama, cupping. Cupping? And so when he did cupping, the blood of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was drained in a bowl. Was drained in a bowl, and the only people there at that time was Abdullah ibn Zubair close by. So he said to this young boy, Abdullah ibn Zubair, Abdullah, come here. And he said that, look, this is the blood of a Nabi, go and dispose of this with honor and respect. Go and dispose of this with honor and respect. And so he said, Labbaik ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whatever you tell me. And so he took the bowl. In it was the auspicious blood of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The fuqaha have mentioned that generally nothing is impure in the body of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The ahkam, the ruling of a Nabi is very different. That is why many a times you'll find that Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would be sleeping and he would just wake up and do wudu and read his salah without wudu. In fact, it is mentioned in the books of a hadith that when a Nabi goes for the call of nature, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he would go, Sahaba-i kiram ajma'een would say that we would see nothing there. They would go for the call of nature, but there was nothing there thereafter. Subhanallah. And so the masail of a Nabi, Anbiya alayhi musallatu wassalam, is very, very different. And so when you look at the fiqhi mas'ala today, and if you look at the madhahib, for an example, Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi, in his fiqh, if blood comes out, your wuzu breaks. Your wuzu breaks. And the dalil is where Allah says, حُرِّمَتْ عَلَيْكُمُ الْمَيْتَةَ وَالدَّمْ. And there's another hadith also, كُلُّ دَمِي سَائِلْ لِكُلِّ دَمِي سَائِلْ وُضُوء أَوْ قَمَا قَالَ عَلَيْهِ السَّلَاةُ وَالسَّلَامُ. And so there are ahadith that talk about this. But Imam Malik and Imam Shafi'i rahmatullah alayhi are of the opinion that if blood comes out, your wuzu does not break. And they have the hadith of a sahabi who had taken injury whilst continuing his salah. And so this is their dalil. So khair, the masail for the common man is very different. But as for Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he takes the auspicious blood of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam and he goes, and after a bit he comes back. Now when he comes back, Hazrat Salmani Farsi is also with Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Another great sahabi, Hazrat Salmani Farsi. Hazrat Salmani Farsi radiallahu ta'ala looks at this boy, young boy, Abdullah ibn Zubair, and he came back. So Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam said to him, Abdullah, so quick? You went and you came back? And he says, yes, ya Rasulullah. He says, you disposed of the blood of the Nabi in the right place? And he said, ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, worry not. Worry not. It's in a very safe, secure place. No hands can touch your auspicious blood. No hands can touch your auspicious blood. No one can disrespect your auspicious blood. Now Hazrat Salman Farsi radiallahu ta'ala was very clever, very intelligent of course. And he said, ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, what he is actually implying is that he has drank your auspicious blood. That he had taken it inside. That, subhanallah, the place where your blood is now is in my stomach. Rajib, Allahu Akbar. And what did Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he didn't shout at him. Allah's Nabi, this was not the attitude. Why? Because every part, everything of a Nabi, every juz, every part of a Nabi is a source of barakat. Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal rahmatullah alayhi says that during the farewell hajj, as well as the hair of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam being distributed amongst the companions, even the nails were distributed. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam had cut his nails. And he said, even distribute the nails of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam amongst the Sahaba. Ajib. What a Nabi he was. Subhanallah. How beautiful Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam was. That is why Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha would say that in total dark nights of Arabia, winter nights, total dark nights, I would wait for Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam to come. When he would come, through the barakat of his face, his radiant face would lit up the entire room, that I would immediately put my thread into the needle. That I would immediately put the thread into the needle when Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam would come. Now how difficult is that? To put a thread into the eye of a needle. Ajib, no? And she says, I would do that very easily because of the noor of the face of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ajib. And so Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam didn't say anything to him as an indication that if any part of a Nabi enters into another body with Iman, of course, let's not forget, everything is in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Of course we know that as Muslims. But what we are saying, looking at the honor and the maqam and the azmat that is given to Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the indication was that any part of a Nabi that enters into another body, the fire of Jahannam cannot touch that individual. So this was Abdullah ibn Zubair radiallahu ta'ala an, the brave soldier who spoke out thereafter against Yazid ibn Muawiyah, and eventually he died. And many people died thereafter. And now you had Abdul Malik ibn Marwan, who was standing opposite him. But he had taken control of Makkah Mukarramah. Inshallah ta'ala, if Allah wills, we will continue with our durus and the tariq to continue. Allah give us all the tawfiq. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Allahumma taqabbal minna wa tub alayna innaka antat tawwabur rahim. Nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Sami'na wa ata'na. Ghufranaka rabbana wa ilayka al-masir. Bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin.